Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias, and joining me is...
Perry Nemiroff.
And it's the end of... almost the end of summer. As of this recording, it's September 1st. There's not a lot of movies really coming out this weekend. I mean, we have Shark Night, which is not being screened for press, so I hear, and Apollo 18, which is also not being screened for press. And no telling how good Apollo 18 is. I know they moved that the release date for that quite a bit this year. I know it was supposed to come out like in March, and then they moved it to all the way at the end of August, which to me kind of seems like dump time, you know, for let's get rid of these movies and burn them off. But before we get into our review, we're going to be reviewing Good Old Fashioned Orgy in this episode. Let's talk Hunger Games. Perry, what are your thoughts on the new Hunger Games teaser trailer that premiered at the VMA Awards this past week?
There's no getting around the fact that I'm absolutely biased because I have an intense obsession with this series and I write the Hunger Games countdown for movies.com. So I knew I was going to love whatever I saw just because I was so desperate to see something. But I mean, even beyond my bias, it's a very well cut and made trailer. They chose a smart scene to go with because it shows some action. And it also narrows the focus to the lead character, which is going to be a necessity throughout the entire feature film. My one issue with it is that it doesn't have a wide appeal at all. I mean, they definitely were using Gail's voiceover in the piece to do some exposition and to tell people who aren't familiar with the source material what's going on. The problem is the visuals are just so striking and exciting that that voiceover kind of gets drowned and you don't really hear it and you don't really digest it at all.
Yeah, I mean, unless you've read the book, I guess, then you would kind of feel a little bit more stronger to the voiceover. I mean, there was really not much here of a teaser. I mean, I've read at least the first book. I haven't read the whole series yet. And I haven't really... This kind of excited me. I mean, it excited me when they showed Katniss for the first time, Jennifer Lawrence in the full costume on that Entertainment Weekly cover. I was definitely excited then. And I'm moderately excited. I mean, there was... really not getting too much from this teaser trailer at all. And if you didn't know who these people are or what the story was, I don't know if you would be excited about this. Actually, I think I agree with you there.
A really smart scene that they could have gone with to use for this teaser trailer to both appeal to, you know, fans of the books and everybody else is the scene when she's rising up into the arena.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just hear, like, the background cheers, you know, they're making like announcements that it's about to begin or something. And then all of a sudden it cuts to the logo, something like that. Especially if they were going to go with one scene for such a short amount of material.
Yeah. I think that would probably fit the tone of the movie and what you're going to get into as someone who doesn't know anything about it. Cause you'll see right there, this girl going into this tournament, not really sure if it's going to be, you know, kind of brutal or anything, but you still get a sense of, I guess, the Hunger Games themselves. But, you know, with this, I mean, it's definitely a teaser trailer, and there's no real telling if they actually shot that stuff, you know, in the start of the tournament and her coming out of the ground like that. You know, all we probably know is this is probably what they've shot already, you know, and this is what they had for somewhat of a teaser trailer that they actually had to make some sort of a deadline for the VMAs.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the full trailer and just to see things beyond our leading trio here, because that's really all we've got so far. And all we've seen is shots of them in forest settings of the arena when there's so many other things in this story that are just, I mean, they should be so incredibly vibrant. Like, I want to see some of the capital stuff. That's what's going to be really striking in terms of setting and meet some of the other characters. And you know, this isn't like a lot of the other movies. They have such a short amount of time at this point until the release. We've got to get this kind of material coming and coming fast.
Yeah, and this comes out in March, I believe. Yeah. Do you know what date in March?
March 23rd.
March 23rd, which isn't that long from now. I mean, I hope this does well because I really would like to see them do the other books. I still have yet to read the other books, but I mean, they want this to be the big franchise, and hopefully this will be that.
I don't think it can be anything else but that. I mean, look at the hype. You actually get a sense of the kind of money it can pull in based on those VMA numbers, how many people tuned in to watch. And you know, I was out on Long Island and I had no power thanks to Irene, and I was kind of almost like watching the VMAs via Twitter. And yeah. Even with all the people like writing about how excited they were about so and so performing, a large majority of the VMA tweets that I saw had something to do with the Hunger Games, waiting for it to happen or something along those lines. And yeah, I really am a firm believer that that is what helped out MTV with ratings.
When they were first trying to cast Katniss, I was actually kind of a little let down that Jennifer Lawrence was eventually cast. I thought she was kind of too old for this role. But after seeing her in the costuming and what I've seen so far, I'm a little bit more sold than originally before. I thought, what's her name from True Grit, Haley Steinfeld. I thought she should have been Katniss. I see her and I totally see what I see in my head when I'm reading the Hunger Games.
She was my original pick too, but now, Jennifer Lawrence looked great on the cover of Entertainment, but after seeing this teaser trailer, that age, I mean, it's not a factor whatsoever. She looks exactly like what I imagined Katniss would look like.
Yeah.
And she moves like her too. You could see how, like, she must have done a fair amount of training because, I mean, beyond, you know, bow and arrow work or whatever, but like her agility in that clip is kind of incredible, how natural she moves.
Yeah, and that's kind of definitely the appeal of the character. I mean, when they released the animated poster for this, I totally geeked out over that. Just like the Mockingjay symbol up in flames, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I think all posters should be like this, like animated, and just you really get a good sense of what this film's going to be just from this poster.
That was a much better motion poster than most of the others we see too, because rather than, you know, I keep thinking about the one from The Haunting in Connecticut where like that like gunk was coming out of that kid's mouth, and
yeah.
I feel like that was more for like shock value, whereas this almost like expressed the tone of the film between the logo on fire and the music. And it gave you a really good sense of what's to come with so little.
Is this movie going to be in 3D?
No. I mean, unless they decide to post-convert it, God forbid.
Yeah, I mean, they might.
I don't think they don't have enough time.
No, probably not. And hopefully they don't.
Yeah.
3D really hasn't been doing well this summer. And, you know, time will tell within the next 16 to 18 months if 3D is going to be around, period. 3D is not really doing well, and I don't think putting that kind of investment on The Hunger Games, when it's kind of an iffy property franchise, in my opinion. I mean, the book definitely has its followings. I just don't know if it's going to translate to a mainstream or general audience.
I hope they're considering IMAX, though. I think this is something that could really benefit from the extra screen size.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I could just imagine the arena in IMAX.
That'd be incredible. I mean, I'm at the point with 3D where when I hear a movie's coming out in 3D, I start to dread it because I know I'm going to have to see it.
Yeah, same here. That's kind of sad, actually. All right, so check out the Hunger Games teaser trailer. That's up on Shakya.com. And check out Perry's coverage of The Hunger Games on Movies.com as well.
Thank you.
I actually watched that video you did with Katie Rich this past week, I think. That was pretty cool.
That was a blast. I mean, I could just talk my face off about this movie all day long, and luckily I found someone who was willing to do the same.
Well, I just don't put yourself open for disappointment, because you know, there's no telling if the movie's going to be good or not.
Right now.
All right, so let's move on to our review of the movie coming out this Friday, Good Old Fashioned Orgy. This is a synopsis. A group of 30-year-olds who have been friends since high school attempt to throw an end-of-summer orgy. This title says everything about this movie, Good Old Fashioned Orgy. This stars Jason Sudeikis of Saturday Night Live. It's funny, when I saw this movie, I saw this with you, Perry, about a month ago or so when they were screening it for press. We saw this a day after The Horrible Bosses screening, where Jason Sudeikis is also in that movie as well. What are your thoughts on Good Old Fashioned Orgy? And I guess, namely, what are your thoughts on Jason Sudeikis and in comparison to his role in Horrible Bosses?
He kind of gives off the same kind of vibe in both, and it works in both fine. I mean, I just hope that at some point he gets some roles that expand his range a bit. But as a movie alone, I had an absolute blast with it. I mean, in my review on Shakya, in the opening paragraph, I compared it to, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Rudy, Camp Nowhere, which was
Jessica Alba,
a favorite of mine when I was younger. And it's like this feeling like this is Camp Nowhere for adults. Like, their ideal summer involves an orgy, which is almost ridiculous. Kind of like those kids having a summer all alone. Like, these things can't really happen, but you get so wrapped up in the story and the fun of it that you're totally willing to just go along with it, and especially go along with, like, poorly developed plot points that make no sense, too.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this movie for the most part. I mean, it's not anything great, but it's not anything horrible either. I'm with you that this did feel like a very summer camp type of movie. I mean, it's happening at the end of summer. It's a whole bunch of group of friends, all different types of friends that have been friends forever. And what you really want in this movie is just to see how this friendship is. And then at the beginning of this movie, there's this big party that happens, this quote-unquote white trash party that they have, and that's just a lot of fun. And throughout the whole movie, we see these characters interacting and having fun with each other. The main drama of or the conflict in Good Old Fashioned Orgy is Jason Sudeikis' character. His father wants to sell their summer home, you know, the summer home where he's kind of grown up, spent every summer, and where he and his friends have their summer fun with this pool and in the middle in the country. And that stuff, I really wasn't rooting for them to, like, not sell the house, trying for them not to sell the house to people. That stuff really wasn't of any interest to me. I mean, really what I enjoyed in this was just the interactions with the characters, just them having fun, and then them researching what goes into an orgy. Probably the last third of this movie is them researching what goes into an orgy, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought they should have left the whole house thing out of it, because also without the house element, we also lose Leslie Bibb's character, which was one of my least favorite parts of the movie. I don't think that relationship was defined nearly enough to make that have any sort of emotional effect on the movie. The fun part was the partying, this group of friends, and we didn't really need anything but this group of friends.
Yeah, I agree. Leslie Bibb's character, Kelly, she really doesn't even fit in with this group of friends. You know, it's not like she'd be a good addition to this big group of friends already. And I 100% agree with you. Like, the love story between her character and Jason Sudeikis' character really doesn't flourish into anything. You know, it's just meeting some random girl, and then it just so happens that she's the one selling the your house, and then that's really not used to any benefit of the film, in my opinion. And really, one of the best sequences in this movie, no pun intended, is the climax of the movie, like the last part of the movie when they actually have the orgy, because throughout the whole film they're kind of arguing with each other, should they or should they not have this orgy, because they've been friends for so long it would just kind of be awkward.
That part of the film is really handled so well, because you're building to that the entire time, and it's either going to work or it's not going to work, and this works in the best way possible, because they don't push it as much. As raunchy as this comedy is, and as far as they do push some things, this part isn't incredibly overboard to the point where you're like uncomfortable or disgusted. It's like fun, and it's surprisingly sensible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tasteful, I would say that. I mean, there's nudity in it, but it's not anything gross out, in my opinion. I think, I mean, if you are an adult, I mean, this is geared towards adults. I'm assuming this is a rated R movie. I don't think there's anything kids would enjoy from this movie, but it is this fun sex comedy that we really don't get these days, and especially that we don't get from, like, people in their late 20s, early 30s. You know, sex comedies are usually relegated to, like, teenagers. And watching this film, you know, for me, it kind of made me feel like a kid again, you know, except in an adult situation.
Yeah, like, back to the Camp Nowhere reference, that's kind of what these relationships reminded me of. Like, you know, when you got, like, two innocent kids and they come together and, like, they kiss for the first time. Like, yeah, this is upping it about a million times with an orgy, but still, when two characters come together, you get that same feeling.
Yeah, and I guess another thing that I wasn't too keen on in this movie was, and again, they're all adults, so they're going to have adult problems with their relationships. I didn't think that, you know, I think all the problems that they did have with their outside relationships outside of this friendship really didn't hold much to it, you know? I mean, it didn't really lend itself to the film so much. I mean, if this movie could have just been this group of friends hanging out, deciding if they should or if they shouldn't have this orgy, I'd be okay with it. And everything outside of that, I could do without. But I could see, I mean, really, when you're not with these group of friends is the parts of the movie when I'm just turned off by.
I do wish this was a little more contained than it was. I mean, for the most part, it really is. It really does mostly take place in that summer house and building up to that last moment. But I believe it opens with little snippets of each character, and that does, like, if you're gonna do that, you got to do it right and do it to the point where it helps you get to know these characters. I mean, we're maybe seeing 30 seconds of each of these people, and you forget exactly what they were doing by the time they hit the summer house anyway. Cut that out, start at the summer house, maybe, you know, get that character development through a little dialogue that's maybe a bit too much exposition, but probably would have been smarter to go that way and just keep the world nice and tight.
Yeah, I actually kind of forgot that there was stuff outside of the summer house, like at the beginning of the movie when they're in New York City going, doing their day jobs before they have that weekend. I kind of enjoyed Will Forte and Lucy Punch in this film, that they're this newlywed couple and they were part of this big group of friends, and because they are now married, they're not invited to this orgy. I actually thought that element was pretty funny. Yeah, there's like a whole scene that happens at a wedding, which I found really funny. I mean, there's the stuff with a priest and someone calling him a rabbi. I thought that was hilarious.
It was so hilarious, and I think that's because that issue kind of makes a lot of sense and is really relatable. Like, you understand both sides of this argument, and you kind of want both to win at the same time, and it just creates this great dichotomy that's a lot of fun to play with. And plus, they're really funny. I really wish Lucy Punch would get a starring role in something.
Yeah. And it seems like, yeah, I agree with you. Lucy Punch, I mean, A, she has a great name. I don't know about you, but I think that's an awesome name to have. And B, you know, we've seen her in Bad Teacher this year and Good Old Fashioned Orgy, and she's someone that I would like to see more in a media role. Same thing with Jason Sudeikis. He definitely has leading man qualities, and he holds the movie for me, and I'd be interested to see him in a leading role one day.
I think this is kind of like a leading role. I mean, he's definitely at the top of this ensemble here. But yeah, I see what you mean. Back to Lucy Punch, though. She gained my respect because she's the only person in Dinner for Schmucks that made me laugh.
Wow, Dinner for Schmucks, a movie I totally forgot as soon as I left the theater.
Yeah, better off that way.
Wow, that was like last year, wasn't it?
That was last summer.
Wow. Dinner for Schmucks. So yeah, I guess I recommend Good Old Fashioned Orgy. Is this opening wide or is this a limited release?
It's limited. I mean, I'm looking at Box Office Mojo's release schedule now, and it doesn't even have a theater count. It only says limited.
Oh man. So most likely just New York and LA then, but And when it does open wider, I do recommend seeing this. I mean, this is a good rental as well. I can totally imagine a whole group of friends getting this movie and getting like a pizza and a bunch of beers and watching this movie, then them having some ideas what to do at the end of this movie. And I love this poster, actually. This poster is kind of cool. Kind of reminds me of like a Mondo print or something.
You're talking about the yellow one, right?
Yeah.
The other ones are kind of atrocious.
Oh, I've only seen this one, the yellow one with the male and female signs on it.
There's this one where the whole group is sitting on a couch on the beach, and it's so clearly like one person photoshopped on top of another. And then there's a Russian version of it where they photoshopped like a toilet bowl and like a beach pool floaty, like to make a frame of that image. It's just, it's terrible looking. But
oh,
I agree. I really like that yellow design. It's like, it says a lot in a really tame and appropriate way. And it's really bold design too.
Oh, I'm looking at the other posters. Yeah, this probably will be the crappy DVD Blu-ray box. Yeah, this couch one looks pretty bad as well. Oh man, yeah, I can definitely see this be the DVD Blu-ray box for this movie. But yeah, and also I guess it would be cool to see the word orgy on a marquee outside of a movie theater. You know, maybe some sketchy people will walk in thinking it's something that it's not. And maybe they'll be generally surprised what kind of movie this turns out to be. All right, so you're recommending this movie, right, Perry?
For sure.
Yeah, I recommend it as well. All right, let's wrap up this episode of Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You can find me at shocky.com, movies.com, comingsoon.net, and cinemablend.com. And you can also find me on Twitter. The handle's at pnemiroff, P-N-E-M-I-R-O-F-F.
And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, AutorCast.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. All right, on the next episode of Movie Night, we're probably most likely going to be talking about two movies. Steven Soderbergh's Contagion comes out next Friday, and also Gavin O'Connor, I believe his name is, his movie Warrior comes out this Friday as well, next Friday as well. Yeah, and...
No spoiler.
It'll just be an interesting discussion of at least Warrior. I mean, that's the movie that we, at this point of the recording, this is the movie that both Perry and I have seen. But I definitely look forward to talking about both of these with you, Perry. All right, so closing out this episode of Movie Night, thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye.